Please. Okay, full disclosure. Reverend Siri only asked me to preach this past Monday. I can just hear her thought processes. Who am I going to get to preach? Ah, Father Theo's an old retired guy now. I'll bet he doesn't have anything better to do. And being an accommodating sort of old retired guy without anything better to do, I said, sure. And then I saw the lections. Oy! The unknown author of Ephesians gives us a mini sermon on predestination. If you think I'm going to touch that, think again. The Markan community gives us the rather unedifying tale of Herod and Salome. I suppose I could twist that into something, but why bother? That leaves the psalm and the story of David dancing before the Lord. Both are wonderful examples of unbridled praise for the God of Israel, and as such commendable for us to emulate, but as sermon fodder, I'm not moved. So, I'm going to return to a thread from my sermon of June 17th and talk about character. To start, what do we really mean when we speak of character? General discussion of the concept will probably touch upon shared core values, individual deeply held beliefs, internal orientation, and external behavior. Each of us has a personal meaning for the word, but it's hard to discuss any concept collectively without narrowing its scope with some precision. The American Heritage Dictionary has no fewer than 20 definitions for character. One definition is moral and ethical strength. One is reputation or public estimation. The first definition, however, is simply features that distinguish one person from another. The word came into English in the Middle Ages, and originally it meant a distinctive mark or imprint on the soul. And here is the particular meaning I want to lift up this morning. A person's character is the summation of her or his habits, attitudes, and attributes. Because those qualities are learned, they can also be purposefully taught, for good or ill. Yet at the same time, character, as an imprint on the soul, is rooted in the mystery of the unique individual. Her or his continual unfolding in real time and space. And as such, and as a manifestation of being in the world, character is necessarily beyond our attempts to completely understand and control. According to the theorists, character, like truth, will out. Character is not just about what another can witness or what can be recorded while the cameras are rolling for a photo opportunity. Character, says an old American proverb, is who you are in the dark. Dennis and I love to travel by car. And we've taken a lot of wonderful long road trips together. And when we do, one of us drives while the other reads aloud. Some years back, we read a book by the American psychologist James Hillman, now deceased. It was a study entitled The Force of Character. From what I've read about him, Hillman was himself a fascinating character, a sort of maverick in the psychological community. He easily incorporated notions of imagination, intuition, and spirituality into the definition of character, seeing it as a calling, by which he meant a compelling and urgent drive, a spiritual energy that accompanies an individual into this plane of existence. In his work, Hillman proposed that this calling in our life is inborn. and that it's our mission in life to realize its imperatives. He called this his acorn theory. The idea that each individual holds the potential for their unique possibilities inside themselves from birth. Our lives are formed by a particular image. Just as the oak's destiny is contained in the tiny acorn, invisible within itself. Hillman suggested a reappraisal was necessary for each individual of their own childhood and present life to try and find their particular calling, the seed of their own acorn. His theory essentially replaces growing up with the myth of growing down from the womb into a messy, confusing, earthy world. Hillman wrote two major books on this topic, the one I just mentioned, Force of Character, and an early one entitled The Soul's Code. In this first book, he lays out in detail the theories I've just described, and in the second, the one Dennis and I read, he carries on to look at how character is lived out by examining old age. Aging is no accident, Hillman says. It is necessary to the human condition, intended by the soul. We become more characteristic of who we are, he says, simply by lasting and distilling into our later years. Thus, our final years have an important purpose, because the older we become, the more our true nature emerges. The fulfillment and confirmation of our character is our end goal. All the more reason that we should pay close attention to the old, for if age reveals the ultimate essence of their characters, so will it someday reveal ours as well. Can you guess where I'm going with this? How about if I suggest that every faith community has a character too, with qualities that define its essence, a compelling and urgent drive born of its past but reaching into its future? And here I come back to the question I posed in my last sermon about our life together and about what we see as the central metaphor shaping our communal life. And if you missed it, that sermon's still on the website. Our answer to that question, whether we aspire to be the lofty cedar tree alone and aloof in its grandeur, or the riotous and uncontrollable, ever-spreading mustard shrub, our answer will be indicative of our fundamental character. I want to build on that premise by sharing with you a series of character traits developed some years ago now by theologian Paul Wilkes to describe a life-changing, community-building, thriving community of faith. Such a community, Wilkes writes, is a place where people enjoy being part of the community, is aware of and fosters the diversity of its members, is open and willing to adapt, emphasizes spirituality and a deep relationship with God, not just a social interaction, is innovative and thoughtful in worship, reverent yet alive and appealing, sees value in Christian tradition, yet is not slavishly bound to the past, has a sense of God's complexity, and doesn't base its theology on one characteristic of God, is a place where decisions are made collaboratively, not only by the priest or by a small group of leaders, attempts to boldly confront real problems within its membership and community and not be content with its successes, And finally, serves the needs of people in the surrounding area and beyond. Accepting these criteria as valid, if only for the sake of argument, I'll ask, as I did a month ago, how do you think we're doing? How would we score if each of us rated these traits on a 1-10 scale? Would we discover an essential character we could claim for St. Mark's? An inborn calling or distinctive mark imprinted on our communal soul and revealing itself more fully over time? In what would our acorn be rooted? The promises of the baptismal covenant? The 5 marks of mission? The 3-legged stool of scripture, tradition, and reason? The way of love proposed by our presiding bishop Michael Curry and laid out for us last week by Reverend Seary? Is it a character derived from the church, capital C, and our historical Anglican identity? Or is it something parochial and uniquely our own? Or is it some combination of the two? And is it a character we are proud to claim publicly, or does it also carry a shadow side? Once again, I am not suggesting that there is any concrete right or wrong answer here. My job is to raise the questions and invite the conversation. Certainly, I am clear about where my own bias lies, but the Anglican way has always insisted on the freedom of individual conscience. So there's lots of room for personal preference about which characteristics we value. But I will say that without some consensus of opinion on core values, we will be characterless. Simply generic Christian, generic Episcopal, generic cathedral. And not only characterless, but really directionless. To simply endure, to meet the budget and keep the lights on, may indeed be a character trait, but I do not believe that it is either God's dream for us or the mission of the church. If we take Hillman's thesis seriously, and even if we don't, reappraisal, ongoing discernment must always be part of our spiritual identity work, as individuals and as a congregation. To the extent that we are willing to engage in such communal discernment, our answers to the questions I have just posed will determine whether we are an intentional or a casual community of faith, will guide not only how we talk about this place to others, but also how we act when we leave here each Sunday and go out those doors to the wider world. And ultimately, will form the legacy we will leave as followers of Christ. Who will we be in the dark?